Today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system so you and your loved ones get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American Ballpark, the Bengals over at Paycor, FC Cincinnati, one of the area college teams, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code RIVERFRONT at checkout and receive $20 off your first order. Click the link in the show notes to download the app and get started. That's Riverfront, one word, for 20 bucks off.
Hello, everybody.
What up, what up, what up?
My name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. And welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by our wonderful friends at the Riverfront. And they have fantastic people at patreon.com, such a Riverfront Cincy, where you also can become one of our family members and hang out with us. So, Ben, how are you, buddy?
Tim, I am great. As you know, just in the midst of basketball / volleyball season, so it's running back and forth from one gym to the next, anxiously awaiting 74 days until our Red Lakes play. So, you know, it's things are going well. You know what I mean? We're in a deep freeze here now.
Yeah, about that.
In the Cincinnati area. I mean, it is definitely making you yearn for warm summer nights, watching our Reds beat whatever team they bring in the GABP. But yeah, it's things are going well. Just want it to be a little bit warmer. What up, everybody? Saying hi. It's good to see you guys are with us on this cold night.
We're hitting that point in the year where we're now going against playoff football for the next like four weeks. Yeah. So, you know, we're probably going to have a little bit of a stride there, but yes, shout out Carlos stopping by to say go Texans. His Texans with a big win yesterday over the Cleveland.
Hey, shout out. Yeah. Shout out the Texans. Shout out CJ Stroud.
The truth.
You know what I'm saying? Guy getting it done. That was fun to watch. Yes,
he's
he is.
So good. Like, great. Yes, you got to watch him for years at Ohio State as a fan.
Yeah.
So this is I'd seen here and there, but this is my first time like watching a full game. And I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
He's legit.
Yeah. I'm in.
He's definitely legit.
Yeah. We had a pretty solid week of basketball as well. We got the Musketeers got a big win at Providence. NKU and Miami picked up some nice wins. And Cincinnati, this close to another win at Baylor.
Yeah. Yeah, all those teams are starting to play a little bit better. You know, Xavier is the one where, you know, you're not I think Xavier and UC to me are sitting on different planes. Xavier is a team that I wasn't expecting as much, but I'm getting more from. And UC, I was expecting you.
Cooper, we are dedicated. We are not that dedicated.
Nope. Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. But UC is a team that I expected a little bit more from, and they're getting there. I'm not saying that I think Wes Miller does a great job. They're getting there, but they're not where I thought they would be. So,
I'm pretty impressed
it's good to see.
Far.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I like Wes Miller. I think he does a tremendous job. I just hope they're patient with him. And I think I've said that before. I hope they're patient with him and give him some time to get them where they're going to be, which, you know, and I think that people underestimated the switch to the Big 12 is not as being like a little bit less complicated than what it is, because people don't realize how much. Yeah, they're in every game. But the thing is, too, is that you're dealing with teams that are used to that conference play already. And UC's, it's a new conference. It's a new feeling. It's a new, you know, new venues, new things, you know, every week. So they're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will be talking about the Reds today, because that's where you guys can hang out with us on Sunday night, obviously.
Yes.
So we're always going to get into the Brent Suter signing, talk about that, the excitement around that as well. Get into the bullpen a little bit. And then because it's January 14th during the NFL playoffs and we are just like throwing crap at the wall to have fun segments and see what people like and don't like, today we're going to compare the Reds to Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the Avengers. So we'll see how that goes. I'm very excited for this. I hope you guys enjoyed as much as I did putting it together. But we will be having some serious, obviously, baseball conversation. And let's start, obviously, with the news. So Brent Suter signs with the Reds. Every Reds podcast has talked about this already so far. But I want to talk about what the Reds are necessarily getting in Brent Suter. Obviously, everyone knows, local kid from Cincinnati. That makes it cool. Always love those guys coming here. Though I don't think local Brent sounds as good as local Luke did. Does, I should say. But Brent... someone come up with a local nickname for Brent, and we will use it on the show and see if it sticks. We promise. But I will say this. The fact that he spent a whole year last year with the Rockies pitching all of his games at Coors Field and did not give up a home run, very impressive. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
His batting average balls in play, there was like 394, but you expect that in Colorado. You expect a field, that kind of thing. So that was awesome. I was really excited when I looked that up. And I was like, okay, so what does he do at Great American Ballpark? And his opponent OPS at GABP is 606. Very impressive for a pitcher. Opponent slugging is 288. 17 strikeouts and only 16 hits. And mind you, this is a guy who pitched for the Brewers for a few years before going to Colorado for a year. And Ben, I really, really, really like this signing. I think that... Yep. The bullpen, and we're going to do a side-by-side here in a slide, just kind of going, comparing this, what looks like in 2024, 2023. You obviously knew that was kind of goal. One of the big goals was kind of shore that up and kind of figure out what went wrong last year and kind of pick up on that. And I think they've done an excellent job with that. I'm very excited about this move.
Yeah, and it all started with getting Sam Moll last year. I think it all kind of started that bullpen revolution. This pick here, even though he's a local guy and we all talk about that and we love that, it is a really good, sneaky good pickup by the Reds. A lot of times, you know, everybody gets caught up with him being a local guy and a Cincinnati guy, but he's a really good pitcher. I mean, he's a really good relief guy. And he's a left-handed arm that gets you quality outs. Like you said, anytime a relief guy can go into Coors Field and not give up a single home run, I mean, you can look at the averages and the batting average and the hits and all that stuff in Coors Field. If you're not giving up dingers, then you're doing a pretty good job as a relief pitcher. So, you know, in GABP, you saw his numbers. I think it helps too that he's a National League guy. He's pitched with the Brewers, pitched with the Rockies, so he knows National League lineups.
That's a great point.
So, you know, I think that he's a good get, and I think he's what, 34. So he's another veteran guy that's had some veteran matchups and some serious games to bring in that experience into your bullpen. I think they got him 1 year, $3.1 million. That's a steal. I mean, that's, you know, for a guy with that kind of experience. So a sneaky pickup, Nick Kroll. I think that's one that's going to pay dividends throughout the year. Having a couple guys that are left-handers in your bullpen to be able to get quality outs is always a luxury to have with your team.
I saw a lot of people, one of the comments people are making, because God forbid something be 100% good.
Right.
is that they now have too many lefties in the bullpen. And
I don't, but
so I think if you look at, so you're, you know, at this point, you're probably looking at Suter, Sam Moll, and Alex Young. Mm-hmm. And Alex Young's situation probably goes down significant. You know, we've talked about these guys that were using high leverage last year who probably were pitching in situations they shouldn't have been in.
Shouldn't have been. Yep.
Yeah. You now have these guys who can kind of take that. So that, that stress can kind of go off those players. And again, mm-hmm. when we say these things, it's not like I'm saying that guy sucks. I'm not knocking that
no.
guy. I'm just saying like Buck Farmer does not have to pitch 95 games next year. Because you know, the situations that they, and what they've done here. So, I could see Alex Young kind of being like a lefty long reliever on this team. Also, you know, obviously depending on what they do with Brandon Williamson, whether that's, I don't know if Brandon Williamson will pitch in the pen. I think I've said this in the offseason he will, but I've been rethinking that over the last couple of days. And then Sam Moll, I think, showed last year how good he can be for them. He was awesome down the stretch as they were trying to make a run to the postseason. And yeah, you have Brent Suter here who can kind of really be that great situation as well. And they signed, we talked about the guy last week. I already forgot his name. If someone's in the chat that remembers, please let me know. But to a minor league deal for a chance to make the team. I think when it comes to major leaguers, and Carlos, I don't know if you're still in the chat or not. You can attest to this and you can kind of explain this better than anyone, obviously. It doesn't matter if you're left-handed or right-handed at some point, because at some point the best pitchers are going to be the guys that get the ball.
Yeah, and that's why I like the signing, because the big thing about being on a major league roster is giving yourself options. And that's one of the best things about that. There's a reason why you just don't sign one left-handed reliever. There's a reason why you don't sign one left-handed bat. Like you got to give yourself options. Because listen, these guys get paid to do all kinds of research, all kinds of development, all kinds of thing to see who is a better matchup for which line. So there's a lot of different things that can happen where those guys can match up and do different things and it be a quality matchup in your bullpen. So you can't have too many of those guys. You can't have too many options in the bullpen.
Yeah, and I think in years past, one of the things that's been really irritating for Reds fans is that they haven't really gone to the bullpen as an emphasis on off-season things. So you look at coming out of 20, going to 2021, when that team was a team we all thought was going to make a run at the postseason, and they did nothing. We obviously know what 2022 was. We can all move on from it. It was a bad year. We knew it was going to be a bad year. Mr. Wants is signing Brent Suter as the best sign of the offseason. I don't disagree with that. I really don't. I think it was like a really good move. And then last year we knew, you know, they were better than we thought they were going to be. We've talked about this a million times. And they had to throw guys in situations they shouldn't have been in, like we said earlier. And now we have a situation where those guys can be in a more comfortable role. And the guys who they brought in to be those, you know, those Angel Pagans, these Brent Suters, these guys like that, Nick Martinez, whatever ends up happening with him. I still think he'll probably be in the rotation, depending how things roll out. But yeah, now you kind of have that situation. So that brings us to this. I mean, look, this is, first off, horrible graphic work by me. So I apologize. but this is what we're working with. So on the left side is 2024. And you're looking at your first, this is like Alexis Diaz, Emilio Pagan, Lucas Sims, Brent Suter, Ian Jabeau, Sam Moll, Buck Farmer, Alex Young, Fernando Cruz. Last year, that looked like Ian Jabeau, Alexis Diaz, Buck Farmer, Lucas Sims, Alex Young, Fernando Cruz, Derek Law, Daniel Duarte. Sam Moll obviously pitched 25 games because he was traded to the team in January. I mean, in July. But my point here is the depth that they have in the bullpen now compared to where they were last year is pretty nice. And you're looking at the projections. This is from Fangraphs, obviously, here on the left side, kind of their projections for batting average, blood balls in play, and strikeouts through nine. These dudes are going to get a lot of guys out. And these are guys that if something does go wrong with these young starters where they do have a three-inning game and things just aren't there and the balls are just not going where they're trying to locate it, you have a lot more confidence in that next guy coming in. You have a lot more confidence in this guy taking the ball there to kind of, A, clean up that mess, maybe get better where they really struggled last year, which was leaving, letting inherited runners score. I feel a million times better about the pen than where I was in last season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that you've definitely gotten better. You've gotten better arms. You've gotten better talent, and you've gotten some veteran guys in there that can give you some quality innings. So I definitely feel like we're in a better spot this year than we were in previous years.
Yeah, I know I was on the hampering all offseason of I really want to roll the Chapman back. I'm completely content that he's not with what they've done this offseason.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to sign with the Cubs. I feel like he's going to go back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, the Cubs just made their first big move of the offseason too. So it's been a unique offseason in the NL Central, I think we can say. Mm-hmm. I think the Cardinals did a good job. Though I don't necessarily love the players they brought in. I think the rotation's certainly better and they're going to be healthier. I think the Reds really, you can make the case they may have had the best offseason in the Central.
Oh, you could definitely say that.
Yeah.
You could definitely say that.
I am there as well with you. Anything else we should touch on for the bullpen, or should we get to the silly ass segment that we put together?
I think we've said all that we could say about the bullpen. I mean, I think they've done a good job. And as much grief and strife we give Nick Craw and that management crew, I think they've done a really good job of saying what they said they were going to do, and that's bring some guys into the bullpen and bring in some guys to help, you know, win some games that we should have won last year.
Yeah, all right, for sure. Actually, did want to touch on this real quick. Obviously, the report came out, and again, I'm going to preface this with, I understand it's Bob Nightingale putting it out there, so take that with a grain of salt. Apparently now there are three teams have expressed interest in Joey Votto, and no one seems to know who two of the three teams are. The one that keeps coming up, obviously, is his hometown, Toronto Blue Jays, to kind of do the Brandon Belt rule. I think that I've seen a lot of people who are like, well, what about the Pirates? I'm like, that's – no, first off, never say that to me ever again. Second, I don't – would not love him in the division. The Nationals came up as a potential team, but I think at this point he probably wants to play for a team that looks like they're going to be competitive.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares about – you know, he certainly doesn't care about money at this point. He certainly doesn't care about –
No, he wants a ring. I mean, you don't want to go to a team where you're going – like, I know he wants to play. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But he wants to play for a team that's got to have an opportunity to win a World Series. He's not just going to go to the Pirates because he knows he's going to get 300 at-bats. Like, that's not what he's going to do. He's Joey Votto. I mean, he's going to go somewhere where he can get quality at-bats, trying to get a team into a playoffs, trying to get to a World Series. So, you know, all those – I mean, as much as it stinks that he's going to be playing for somebody else, we can probably say for sure that it won't be of the Pirates or, you know – I mean, Washington, I don't think they have a shot either. So, I mean, because I don't think they're that close. But,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Joey Gaditza, my guy, says, Mrs. Gaditza thinks CES will hit 31 bombs this year. Is that cool? She also thinks he's cute. He's a handsome man. He's a handsome man. I agree.
Listen, I would agree that he's a handsome gentleman.
I mean, 30 more home runs would make him even more handsome. So
yeah, I would not complain about 31 home runs from CES. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm stoked for CES this year. 71 days, people. 74 days, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We need it. Like, we need the temperatures to be above 7 degrees. Okay. Like,
yes.
All right, Ben. Let's do it. First things first, we're going to preface this with saying I had a lot of fun putting this together. It's also January 14th. And other than Brent Suter, a lot of stuff has not happened this week. So I also recently watched a fantastic film called Avengers Endgame. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Pretty popular there in the late 2010s. And the idea of it was they put together their own super team to kind of destroy the almighty Thanos. And then honestly, during the 2020 pandemic, I know a lot of people, when they were stuck home, did the Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline. You did it?
Oh, dude, I did it. I listen, and we all text, but if I remember correctly, when that happened, I think we were all in a group text, and I was on vacation, and I started it and was like, all right, which one do I start with? And our buddy Josh is like, here, man, I'm going to send you the list of going in like chronological Avengers order. So like me and my wife sat every night and watched one every night. And then when we got home, we were like, let's just keep watching them. So we just kept watching them all the way through. Yeah, like we were hooked on them. It was legit.
Disney Plus certainly made it easy too by doing the MCU if you prefer.
Yep, did them. Yeah, it did it. Yeah, that's what made it great. Disney Plus put them right in there. We're like, okay, well, here we are. We're on to the next one.
Yeah. So I recently switched over from, this is how much I love Disney Plus. I recently switched from Verizon, where I was paying like $4 a month for it, to AT&T. So yeah, it jumped to $20 a month because of the whole bundle. And yep, I'm keeping it. I can't get rid of it. Iris and I watched all like 45 new episodes of Bluey this week. So,
oh wow, yeah. See, people there are must haves in the TV game. Mm-hmm. So, like, people were complaining about switching over to Peacock. I already had Peacock. I'm like, I thought that was a given. People don't have Peacock, but then again, like, we're WWE guys, we're, you know what I mean? So, like, I already had Peacock. So, you know, Disney Plus is a must, HBO Max was a must. Like, those are ones those are no doubters.
If I got rid of Max, if I got rid of HBO Max, I would be divorced, because Grace is all into Gilded Age, all into it.
Oh, really?
So right now, I can guarantee you, when this show ends, I'll go upstairs and be like, hey, how's everything? Show is great. I can guarantee you she's watching Downton Abbey on Peacock. So,
okay.
Yeah, guarantee it. Yeah. But the idea is we're going to take these Avengers superheroes characters, and we're going to compare them to current members of the Cincinnati Reds, and we're going to explain why. So this is going to be like, look at this, Mr. One. Bluey is pretty hilarious. Yes, yes, he is all of us. He is all of us, Bluey's dad. And then Paramount Plus is a must for all things Star Trek. Richard, I am a Jedi, but I do have some love for Star Trek, so I will agree with you. So I hope you guys can go along with this. We would love to see if you agree or disagree with our comps and who you would pick and why.
Oh, please, yeah.
But this is going to be fun. And look, the Avengers starts with one man and one man only. The Avengers Initiative is nothing without one Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. And I thought to myself, Ben, I said, who started the Reds Initiative? Who was the talent that was drafted that got this ball rolling? Who was the guy that they brought in and said, all right, this is the turning point. This is when we put our team together to build for the future. And I came up with Hunter Green. If you think about this Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, Matt McClain, Ellie De La Cruz run, Hunter was the first guy taken. Obviously, you know, we know that he is the perfect guy to kind of be the face of a system, right? He's on TV. Yeah. He's on MLB Network all the time. He's fantastic in interviews. He's the man, and he's the, you know, the guy that they look to be the ace of the team. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that changes now with the Frankie Montas signing. But I'm going to stay, for the sake of my point, I'm saying he is the ace. Our comment section later will probably tell me I'm wrong. But I think to start this out, my idea of Captain America, who started the initiative, is Hunter Green.
I think that's a good pick, man. I think that the guy that you stand on, your foundation, right? The guy that is always reliable for the most part. The guy that when you need a good start can give you a good start. The guy that can come and rally the troops, the guy that you can build your team around, the guy that you can call your captain. I think you're spot on there with Hunter Green as being Captain America. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. I would have accepted Matt McClain. I was very, very, very tempted to put Matt McClain in that spot, but
yeah,
I went with the whole "this started it all" thing. So,
yep. No, I get it. I definitely get it. I definitely get it.
Yeah. All right. So now we have Iron Man, and this is a fun one because it's the man with multiple trades. It's the man who can put everything together, who has unlimited things to to get the victory. Obviously, sealed the deal against one Thanos. It's like that movie is like pretty old, right? We don't have to say spoiler alert at this point.
No,
correct?
We're good. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the world.
I was gonna say if you haven't seen it,
you probably don't want to.
Go ahead and mute. I mean, because it's been everywhere. If you haven't seen it, you probably have already been ruined by it anyway. So
that's right. That's right. I also feel bad we're doing this without Nate because Nate literally has an Avengers tattoo.
No, really?
I don't know if you wanted me to tell people that, but you know, it's on the internet now. So
can we edit that out? Can we edit?
I'll just get a mean text later that says, like, I don't know, I'm suspended for 4 days.
You told everybody about my tattoo?
Yeah. So you have the slides. Do you want to list who is Iron Man?
Or do you absolutely.
All right. Who's absolutely. Iron Man, Ben?
Iron Man, the guy that can do it all. One Mr. Spitzer Steer.
Yeah, buddy.
Absolutely. Put me in left field. Okay, cool. It's all good. Whatever I got to do to help us win. Put me in second. Sure. Why not? Let's do it. Put me at that. Why not? Bat third. Why bat four? It don't matter what you need me to do. I'm going to do it to help this team win. That is definitely one Spencer Steer.
And also has the kind of humor that one Tony Stark carries.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big deal. You know who would have been an incredible guest for this episode? I'm really bummed I didn't reach out to him. John Sadak. John's a big superhero guy.
Is he?
Yeah. We could have had a super lot of fun with this. May have needed some bourbon, but would have been fun.
Would have been fun.
Yeah. All right. So Joey mentioned this one earlier, this guy. But we're now at the Incredible Hulk, and we just need someone to smash, right? Hitting bombs. Full strength, full force, all muscle, you know, and can sometimes be, as we've seen many people say in the chat, a fairly handsome man. So Bruce Banner, when he's not the Incredible Hulk, you know, provides some decent looks for the people, right?
Definitely charming.
But when we need him to hit some bombs, who better than Christian Encarnacion Strand, baby? Joey Gadisa said 31 homers this year. I'm saying 37.
Ooh, I like it.
And it's obvious, Hulk right? Smashed. Hulk smash, Strand smash, Strand. So,
hey, let's copy that. We need to copyright that.
Yeah.
Strand smash, Strand.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm gonna go with that here. I think that was my idea there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like this one's also obvious for power hitter and how he looks, and it's Thor.
Yeah. Yep. And I'll say this, like Thor is one of my, he's probably my favorite Avenger. Here's why though. And this is why Thor is my favorite to me because like he has some human aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, dude, he can get rowdy. He throws that freaking hammer around. He launches people. Like, he does what he's got to do. But he's also got that human side. You know what I mean? So, like, this dude has this, can hit bombs, can do what he needs to do, is rough, is tough, does what he has to do. And that's my man, Rake Fraley.
That's right. That's right. I mean, could be Chris Hemsworth in a movie, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This was a no-brainer for sure. I think some people may have said Friedel for the hair, but we got Friedel for somebody else. Don't you guys worry about a thing.
Oh, we got that, yeah.
Yeah, we got, don't you worry about a thing. Yeah, easy. Not a whole lot of discussion there. It's bombs. Can use multiple bats when needed. And the hair. Yeah. I mean, I know Noah Syndergaard was literally nicknamed Thor when he was pitching for the Mets.
Who's that?
But Yeah. We don't need him around anymore.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So this brings us to Hawkeye. Hawkeye is all about accuracy. He doesn't miss. So I was like, man, we need a defensive guy here because we got the pitcher. We've got the hitters. And my Spider-Man one is very fun. I was very, very excited putting that one together. So I was like, man, I'm thinking like the guy from the outfield who grabs, gets the catch and just has a laser to hit the rally man to kind of make things happen. Should have been a gold glove candidate this year and wasn't. I'm going with my man, TJ Friedl for Hawkeye. So has the range in the outfield. Obviously, we've seen it for years now. Has the arm. Was really, really skilled with hitting the cutoff guy to make some make some happens with the play at the plate. I think he did it two or three times this year. Can get a share of outfield assists with the arm strength. Yeah. So I felt like that was an easy one, mainly because Jake Fraley had to be Thor. Like that would have been like a total discrepancy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Friedl is a guy like, and I think you put it perfectly. He's a guy. He absolutely got robbed of being on the Gold Glove list. You know, if you think about Hawkeye is the guy that's the one that's like level headed. He's very strategic about what he does. He's always in the right position, always in the right spot, and that's TJ Friedl, man, to a T.
Chat, you hanging with us? Can you tell it's January 14th? Or are you liking this? All right. Well, we're now up to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
This one was tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, how do I fit one this Reds player into this? And I'm talking about the guy who can make anything happen, can see the future, can say, like, this is the guy that's going to make sure everything's okay. And he's the comfort level of no matter what, I got you.
Yep.
So, Ben, who is our no matter what, I got you?
Oh, that's Matt McClain, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. The guy that makes it happen, the guy that he's the future, he's the present, he's the guy that makes all the things go round and round, dude. Matt McClain is definitely Doc Strange, which is a fitting attribute for him. So I definitely Matt McClain is that guy.
I love it. Yeah. I felt like that was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
This one was kind of nail in the head. It's also my favorite that I've did. So Spider-Man is obviously, as you guys can tell, very important to me.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal in my life. And so if you think about Spider-Man, especially in the MCU, before, you know, No Way Home, when they split the guys out and they do all the thing, it's the young guy who there's like the future of the system, who has all the potential in the world and has all this talent. He's learning how to put it all together while adjusting to life. Mm-hmm. And guys, that was a no-brainer. I mean, Spider-Man is Ellie De La Cruz. And we're also talking about the guy who has the range, who can pull some crazy plays out of his hat to get on defense, who can make anything happen, and also just has excellent humor, is very fun to watch on a day-to-day basis. Ellie De La Cruz is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
No doubter.
Yeah. I know Thor's my favorite, but is there any more exciting Marvel character than Spider-Man?
For me?
As far as like just being able to do different things, climb walls, sling webs, pop up on a moment's notice, be in and out of different spots. I mean, be all over the place, make plays. That's Ellie De La Cruz, baby.
Ellie De La Cruz is Spider-Man, folks. You heard it here. Can we get someone to Photoshop that? I'm sure we can. I'll go on the subreddit of Photoshop requests.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Mr. Juan, that's a good one. I like this one. He said that Will Benson is Ned Leeds because he's Ellie's hype man. I love this, but I guess I can bury the lead because Mr. Juan had it in there. We had Will Benson as Black Panther. And
yes, we did.
The reasoning is, obviously, with the vibranium, the power, and just the sheer athleticism, I felt like that was a perfect match. We know what Will Benson did in that Dodgers walk-off. It's one of the best moments. It was probably it's up there in the best moments of the season. There's so many. And that felt like he was swinging a vibranium bat. And so, Will Benson, Black Panther, no doubt about it.
Oh, without question. Without question.
Yeah. So that was fun. Actually, I had fun.
It was fun
talking about it. I don't know if there how many more we could. I mean, seriously, like if you watched Endgame, there's like 9,000.
Yes. Yep.
Should I? Yeah. I mean, there's a new Captain America, for goodness sakes.
I know.
Yeah. Just trying to think off my head.
Nick Fury.
Ooh, I was thinking about that. I put mm-hmm. that Jamber Candelario because he's the vet.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I like that.
Winter Soldier was tricky.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Let's see. Who's a righty at third? Alexis Diaz? Would he be Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Yeah, he could be.
Yeah?
He could be. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, hopefully there is baseball news next week. Let's see. Real quick before we do get out of here, I will kind of say. So, looks like there's more talks about additional Reds trades. Granted, I am getting this off of Fansided, so take that with a grain of salt again. But apparently the Reds are one of the most active teams in trade talks. There's talks that if the Cardinals are out of the race by the deadline, they're going to trade Goldschmidt. Ooh. I don't buy that.
Well, here's the thing: is like if they didn't trade him this past year, because why would they trade him if they're out of it this year?
Oh, I'm gonna go to your point, but I like this. Mr. Wan said TJ Antun is the Winter Soldier. Only comes out every once in a while and kills it.
Ooh.
That's logic. That's logic.
That is logic.
Yeah. I like it.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's solid. I think that, yeah, I'm with you in the sense that they probably should if that's the case. But I feel like they're look, I hate the Cardinals, obviously. But they're also a very patient franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, you know, if you look at the moves they made, obviously Sonny Gray is a great pickup for them, but it wasn't like, you know, they went, I thought they had a really good offseason. But no one's sitting here like going crazy.
Right.
So maybe, but Arenado, I could see them shopping Arenado. I think that, you know, he's probably closer to his end of his run than Goldie is.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that for sure.
For sure. Man. Now that Mr. Wan's coming up with these comps too, I'm like, this is kind of getting me pumped. I'm like, can we keep this going? We probably shouldn't. We probably should just go ahead and cut it early tonight. I'm sure a lot of people are watching the Lions game. I need to check the score on that actually before we get out of here. Come on, Lions. No.
They're up at half.
Steven, you say nice things about the Cardinals, I'll leave the charge to cancel you. I did say I hate them.
He did preface his comment by I hate the Cardinals.
Yes.
He definitely did preface he did preface that comment by saying I do hate the Cardinals.
Yeah. And thanks for stopping. I stopped in Steve's show. I stopped in Aloha Friday on Locked On past week when him and Jeff were talking about everything. And I got to ask the great question to Jeff. Who is your favorite doppelganger?
Good question.
He did pick me, so that's good to know.
There you go. I like it. I like it.
We should probably get out of here before this goes too far. Well, I know it's a little bit of a shorter episode than normal, but I want to just go ahead and get out of here before we lose all of our subscribers on YouTube. But if you want to help us gain subscribers, we are just 18 away from 1,000. So that would go a super long way. YouTube.com/YourFriendSensei helps us a lot. As always, these episodes are not possible without our wonderful patrons at patreon.com/YourFriendSensei. We definitely appreciate the love. We appreciate hanging out with you guys every day in the Slack channel as well. What's going on around the riverfront? So this past week, we had on the Riverfront Red Show, Chad and Nate were joined by the Podfather, Bill Lack, and they kind of kept their positional series going around, ranking the Reds in certain positions compared to the rest of the division. Check that out if you're not already. Joe and Greg did their regular season sign-off show for the Bengals. So they will be kind of doing their thing as well. And of course, riverfrontcincy.com, where you can see all of our game coverage and see what we're talking about there. Are we not allowed to talk about a doppelganger for Ben?
Oh, please. Who has a doppelganger for me?
Yeah, now you got to answer this. I was getting ready to sign
now,
the show. Gonna
say, now I got, yeah, now I'm curious.
Yeah. Riveting content here.
Anything?
Do you remember Bone Crusher?
I do.
Yeah? I Ain't Never Scared?
Yeah. I Ain't Never Scared.
Oh! I like this one.
Ernie Hudson.
I met Ernie Hudson.
When?
Like a couple years ago at a Comic-Con.
Really?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson's a good one. Really, Mr. Juan? Really? First off, I can hoop. I can ball. And I ain't got the beaties. So, oh my gosh.
This is amazing. All right. Literally this
I'll remember
time.
That. Mr. Juan, I'll remember that one.
So Mr. Juan said he was Stanley. Yeah.
Really?
Fastball down the middle. He had to swing, you know?
Yeah, he did. I get it.
On that note, thanks everybody for hanging out. We definitely appreciate it. Have a good night, everyone.
See you guys.